At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You can tell when somebody is overtaken by one of these species because of their eyes. And there's this old saying that says the eyes are the windows to the soul, right?
Yes, yes.
This is one of the easiest ways that a person can identify if somebody is possessed or is inhabited by an extraterrestrial mind or consciousness, or if the person is a shapeshifter, is by looking into the eyes. They're able to tell because it will be off.
Yeah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد دائما المهديين وسلم تسليما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
Thank you for joining me, Tiffany.
Thank you so much for having me.
So today we're going to have another episode due to the requests from the people and also the fact that we had promised that we would dive a little bit deeper into the topic of the angels, demons, jinn, extraterrestrials, and UFOs.
Okay.
And there's really so much that can be said about it. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, the idea of extraterrestrials, even the idea of jinn, or angels and demons, they are placed in the minds of the people in kind of a category of fiction, imagination, made-up stories. They don't really believe in it. And that is due to a couple different things. One, lack of physical evidence for most people. There's no governing body with authority in the eyes of the people, whether it's a government or a scientific institution that has officially came out and stated, you know, that they do have evidence of extraterrestrial life and, you know, present it to the public in that way. Although there have been and continues to be a lot of whistleblowers that go out in public, you know, in news conferences, writing books, abductees, people who have witnessed these things firsthand, they go out and they talk about it. But yet there's always doubt that's cast on their stories with people that are skeptics. Kind of offering other possibilities to what it is that they saw or experienced. And so a lot of the information that is present anyway now, you know, in regards to jinn, angels, demons, UFOs, extraterrestrials, it's information that is based on narration.
Yeah.
It's based on the accounts of the eyewitnesses. It's based on word of mouth that we have to believe in or not believe in.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah, we have to trust the subjects who are giving these accounts.
Exactly. But that's the same with all of religion for the most part. And that's kind of the whole idea behind faith itself, is that we are required to believe in the unseen. And we mentioned previously that, you know, the very word jinn means that which is hidden. And so, yeah, it falls into that category. And so when we're speaking about it, whether we're talking about what Muhammad and the family of Muhammad have said about it, or what's been written about it in religion, you know, or in the narrations of the prophets and the messengers, this is something that we have to believe in. It's not something that we can offer physical evidence for. And the same thing for the eyewitness accounts and the testimonies of the whistleblowers who have come forward and they've narrated these things. You also, you know, kind of have to believe in their narration.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Now, Having said that, we have in religion this idea of these aliens and these jinn that are broken down into different categories or different species. So jinn is a broad term, and when you look into the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, and you look into the Arab traditions, because the idea of the existence of jinn predates Islam. The Arabs at that time, they already believed in the jinn.
Okay.
And they had different categories for them, and their description varies in the narrations. So, you know, there are some narrations that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they describes them of being as being of three different types: a type that flies in the skies, and a type that is black, you know, dogs and serpents.
Okay.
And a type that moves around from place to place, like humans do.
Okay.
So now we get the idea that there are jinn that, you know, apparently are animals, or at least in the form of animals, or are hacking the consciousness of these animals.
Yeah.
We know that they are specifically tied to the color black.
Yeah.
Perhaps this allows them the ability to kind of move around from place to place without being detected at night, and to spy more easily. There are narrations of them appearing in the form of cats as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not necessarily black ones. But there is narrations that state that all black dogs, you know, and serpents are from the jinn.
Okay, interesting. Okay? Yeah.
It is interesting. And then, you know, it's interesting also to draw the parallel between these jinn that are flying in the sky and between the idea of these aliens or UFOs that people are always witnessing being in the sky.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? And how in Surah Al-Jinn, they're being, attacked by comets, and therefore, obviously, they're in stations in the sky where they're spying. Mm-hmm. And between these narrations that state that literally the jinn are kind of like flying in the sky.
Yes.
It's just the only difference is that people, when they're thinking of UFOs or aliens, they're thinking of metallic physical, vehicles that resemble the vehicles or the type of, you know, metals and things that we make our vehicles from. They think that the UFOs are also made from similar type substances, whether they are existing on our earth or different types of metals, but they think that it is physical,
yes,
something that you can touch and feel.
Yeah.
You know, whereby when people are thinking of the jinn, they're thinking of like smoke-like creatures that are flying around, or demonic entities that are spiritual in nature rather than physical. But we know that these so-called spiritual beings do have the ability to do things, and their species are broken down even more. So you have this species that's on the earth, but you also have it being narrated in the narrations that some of the jinn, they are living in the water, you know, or they're divers. They are, they can go into the depths of the waters to gather treasures and things of this nature. And it makes you think about these legends and mythological creatures that people have described seeing in the oceans, whether it's mermaids, yeah, or other types of beasts. It makes you wonder if these people, if all this stuff is just made up stories, or if in fact indeed people saw things and they recorded them, and they didn't know what they were, and so they eventually gave them names, which is, you know, these swimming human type
yes,
people. Yeah. But in fact, it might have been a jinn that, you know, shapeshifted into the form of a human being that's, as it was like peering out to see who it was that's on the ship, it sees that they're in human form, so it takes the human form. So then they see something and they assume it's half fish, half human,
okay,
because no human being can be swimming around like that
yes,
in the sea.
Wow, that's a really fascinating thing to think about. But of course, like all of the creatures that we mentioned previously in our previous discussion, a lot of people think they're mythological creatures. You know, the Pegasus and the Minotaur and the
Centaur. Well, the thing is that there's some real substance behind this theory, because when you look into the narrations concerning the djinn, you find that these djinn are being described. Some of them are being described, especially the ones that walk and dwell on the earth, are being described as having, from their waist down, goat feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And from their waist up, it's a human form.
Yeah.
And we find this already being mentioned in the Greek mythology, in the form of the Pan creature, right?
Yes.
And so you have this association where the narrations are describing djinn as being from the legs down, goat, from the waist up, a human being, and you have the same thing being depicted in myth.
Yes.
And so you have to come to the conclusion that one of them copied from the other, right?
Yes.
Either it is Islam that the Prophet Muhammad is walking around and he's seeing, these ancient Greek Roman ruins in the area. And so he sees these depictions of little boys with wings, and then he says, okay, well, this must exist in paradise. And he gives them the title of Wilden Mukhaladun. And then he looks and he sees depictions of this Pan creature, and he's asked about it by travelers, and he says, okay, well, these are djinn. And so he's drawing the Islamic concept of djinn based off of what it is that he's seeing, and other parts of the religion, he's taking it based off of what he's seeing, or it's vice versa, that these creatures, they really existed. The Prophet knew about them. The Arabs knew about them at that time, because it's not just the Prophet Muhammad who was describing them in such fashion, but rather there were many people that had encountered them that witnessed this. And also there are Jewish narrations that mention, and there are Islamic narrations that mention that even Balqis, who was the ruler of, there's one narration that states that in the time of Solomon, he sought to court or wed the Queen of Sheba.
Yes.
And the Queen of Sheba, her name in Islam is Balqis. Mm-hmm. And Balqis, it states in the narration that when she is brought to, or when she travels to and has the encounter with the Prophet Solomon, the flooring whereby she's walking on to reach the Prophet Solomon is made of this substance that acts like a mirror.
Okay.
And so as she is stepping up to walk on the floor, to walk over towards Solomon, Solomon is able to see the reflection from underneath her dress. And so he can see that she has, her bottom half is basically goat legs.
Wow.
And so he knows that Balqis is like half djinn, half human being.
Wow, that's very interesting.
It is interesting. It's a narration. It doesn't mean that this is the commonly held belief in regards to Balqis. Certainly it's not. Most people believe that the Queen of Sheba was just a human being. But the point is that this narration exists, and that this is additional proof that alien human hybrids or djinn human hybrids are possible.
Yeah.
And there are many stories about this in the Middle East where, people have claimed to have had sexual relations with djinn and even had offspring by them.
Okay.
Or that, and most commonly that you have a male djinn that becomes in love with a female, and he rapes her at night or tends to molest her. And you have also some narrations, fewer, but some narrations and accounts of female djinn that basically torture or rape male human beings that they are in love with. And this brings to mind the idea of the succubus, right?
Yeah.
That we have in narrations about demons that haunt young men and women.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Yeah. And then when you take that and you look at what the abductees are claiming, so many of them are claiming that during their abduction, they are being sexually molested.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Or they are forced to have these sexual relationships with, these extraterrestrials. You have people from South Africa, like Credo Mutwa, who mentioned, and that was a very prominent part of his abduction tale, that he ends up having these sexual encounters with these beings. And there's many others out there who have written books and said in their interviews, and all you have to do is make a small Google search and you'll find that there is a an abundance of these narrations and these tales of sexual encounters between aliens and humans, and the creation of an alien-human hybrid race.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, certainly there does seem to be a connection between all of these different stories, from Absolutely. The past and from the present.
And then you have also the whole idea of the angels, the sons of God who came down to the earth, and they basically multiplied, with the daughters of man because they found them to be beautiful.
Yes. Yeah? Yeah.
And we have the Islamic tale of Harut and Marut, where there's these two angels and they're basically judging human beings, and they're like, how can they sin? What's up with these people? Mm-hmm. And so God places them in a test and he brings them down to earth. And, they are basically obeying God. And then God sends towards them a female who is extremely beautiful. And she ends up seducing these two angels. And because now they're on earth, they have to be in human form, because the Quran says, and if we would have brought down angels, we would have made them men.
Yes.
And so when they make the angels men, they all of a sudden have and are bound by all that which human beings are bound by, including these desires and lusts and all of that.
Okay.
And so having those lusts and having those desires causes Harut and Marut to end up wanting to win favor with this woman, but the woman is a temptress and she will not accept to be with them unless they obey her in certain things, and so she demands from them that they that they outright disobey God, that they refuse at first, and then she takes it step by step, and she asks them to do these little things, including drinking alcohol. Once they drink the alcohol, they become drunk, and then they fornicate, and after they fornicate, she demands that they kill somebody, and then they end up killing somebody, and then Harut and Marut basically become condemned. And the moral of the story is that, angels cannot judge human beings, because if they were on earth in the place of human beings, they would have done the same or worse, right?
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. But also it shows that there can be this contact between what we consider otherworldly beings and humans.
Yeah. So it's the sexual contact. Yeah. And it's also this theme of the presence of extraterrestrials on human soil, right? Yeah. On the earth.
Yeah, blending in.
Blending in, appearing as human beings, and humans not being able to distinguish, them from other beings, basically. And we spoke before in the Gnostic narrations about how, the angels appeared in the sky to Eve in the form of these lights that were moving around, and she pleads with them to go inform Adam that she became impregnated by Lucifer, right?
Yes.
And these light bodies, they travel through the skies, they go to Adam, they inform him, and he ends up going over there. So once again, you have these lights in the sky that resemble basically UFOs. I mean, that's what people describe when they see UFOs, but in actuality, they're angels.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have angels, demons posing as human beings, even in the case of Balqis, as a leader, a ruler, all right?
Yeah.
But actually she's a demon, or half demon hybrid. And you have, so the angels and the demons, they're walking amongst us. And then you have the extraterrestrial narrative in which people are claiming that they are walking amongst us. You had this conference that was made by Stephen Greer, and he's this doctor that gathered all of these witnesses. And because of his position, because of the people that he knows, because of his research, because of his, you know, he ends up making a lot of friends in high positions within the government, whistleblowers, and then he gathers them all, and basically they have a conference. This happened a couple decades ago, and it just happened again recently, a second one. And in that, they testified to that which they know happened, and they testified to all kinds of things, including that there are bases in the United States that are underground, and the underground bases are pretty much all, you know, beneath the entire country, and that the extraterrestrials that come from other planets to visit our planets, that they are processed in these areas, and sometimes they're captured. Vehicles are reverse engineered. There's exchanges and deals that take place between these creatures. One of the individuals said that there's 57 different species of extraterrestrials that are walking amongst us. Many of them that are indistinguishable in their physical appearance from human beings. Wow. And others, you know, with slight disguises, they are able to blend in, while yet others have the ability to shapeshift or project in the minds of human beings. There was other witnesses, you know, and other confessions that came forward that spoke about how in Area 51 in Las Vegas, Nevada, this is basically one of the most popular destinations for UFOs and aliens to visit because of the because of Las Vegas being Sin City, there's so many different people that are enjoying the nightlife and dressing up and shows, yeah. And it's the city that never sleeps, and so everybody's either drugged up or drunk and gambling and focusing on, distracted by the entertainment. And at the same time, like, you have so many people that are, you know, wearing costumes, yes. And all of these things, that it's easy to blend in. And so extraterrestrials that come to Earth that want to experience the human life, they find no better place to do so than at Area 51, where at nighttime they are given permission by the government, some of them, to dress up, put sunglasses on, hats on, these types of things, and to go out and mingle amongst human beings to see what life is like. And one of the guys was that testified, you know, he claimed to be a guard that had worked at one of these U.S. bases. And he said that, you know, he was involved in the whole process of these extraterrestrials going out and coming in, and he called them tall whites, you know, resembling what we have on the screen here, except extremely tall, basically, you know, taller than human beings, being like 6 foot something.
Okay.
When normally these are being, you know, depicted as being 3 foot something, 4 foot maximum.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have the small grays and you have the tall whites. They both resemble each other, but
The proportions are different. Yeah. I can see how that would be the perfect place for them to basically be tourists on our, you know, in our planet. They could blend in and, yeah, experience all that you said, that one of the most common reasons extraterrestrials would be interested in coming to Earth is to experience these things. So that's a place where you could do so.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, so it seems when we put these things together, the narrations,
yeah,
and the accounts that are given today, it seems to be describing the same phenomena.
Yeah.
And we know also that the angels, they are broken down into different categories.
That's true. They are. Yeah.
Different species, so to speak.
Yes.
Ones that are in charge of, you know, overseeing hellfire, others that are in charge of raising prayers, others that are in charge of guarding human beings, others that are in charge of writing down deeds, others that are in charge of bringing down the rain or bringing down sustenance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Yeah.
And you have then jinn that are broken down into different species or categories, divers, builders. It is narrated also that they built the Temple of Solomon. And that's why many people think that jinn were involved with the building of the pyramids or other structures that are difficult to build because of the narrations that state that they can build. And even the Quran makes that clear, and their involvement in the construction in some narrations of the Temple of Jerusalem and the Temple of Solomon, you know, because he was a guy who had authority over the demons and was able to summon them, or the jinn, for, you know, to work for his command.
Yes, yeah.
And then you have the government officials claiming that the extraterrestrials have given them things and built for them things, you know, and give them technology and weapons and help them achieve, you know, greater things than they were able to achieve with the technology at the time. So Solomon's using them to achieve, you know, feats of architecture that he was not able to do at his time with his technology. And you have nowadays government officials saying that we can do things, you know, with our current technology, but these aliens are giving us the technology we need to accomplish those things. So it's kind of like an exact, you know, one for one, you know.
Yeah, it matches. It completely matches up. Yeah, that's really fascinating. Yeah, I never thought of it in that way, but yes, of course, one of the things that you hear about from people who disclose this information is that technology has advanced because of extraterrestrial contact, and that they have brought technologies to us, and that's why we have leaped forward in technology. So the fact that there are these stories that exist in religion about them doing the exact same thing, or jinn doing the exact same thing and aiding in the building of these structures that were mysteriously advanced for the time in which they were constructed, it's a very interesting parallel.
Yeah, I had many conversations with Imam Ahmad Hassan Salam regarding the types of worlds and creatures that exist outside of our planet, and the things which Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam had spoken about are many in regards to this particular topic. And one of the fascinating things is that because when we try to imagine what types of creatures exist out there, you can pretty much automatically state that any type of creature that you can think of already exists somewhere.
Okay.
Anything
you can imagine.
Anything you can imagine already exists.
All right.
So there must be a planet or a world, either in our dimension or in one of the other dimensions that exist. There has to be a place, a world in existence, whether it's in the past, in long gone, or whether it is currently existing somewhere. There has to exist that thing which you think of. So there has to be a place where the Ninja Turtles are real, for example. There has to be a place where the trolls are real. There has to be a world where leprechauns are real. You know, anything that you can imagine, you know, dragons, anything, they have to exist somewhere. And the idea behind that is because human beings, being a creature that is limited, do not have the ability to imagine anything that God has not already imagined before. And anything that God imagines comes into being. He creates.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
And so, therefore, all of the ideas that come to us or any other species out there are not new ideas, but rather they are old. Instead of us giving birth to new things, it is more like we're satellites that are receiving or pulling from the ether of existence, you know, from the God mind, so to speak, images of things that already we're detecting images of things that God has already created in another world, although they have different names and they might be slightly different in the way that they behave or speak or whatever else, or their personality or their culture. The image of them or the idea of them, it was already established by God before.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. God is infinite. So how could a human mind come up with something that God has not created before? It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. So that's an interesting key that I just gave you and that you should keep with you. And there's okay. another key that the Imam alayhi salam had said, and that is that any planet at all that exists out there that contains water on it, it automatically has life. Okay?
Okay.
And so no matter if it's a planet that is frozen over, but it's basically like a giant water planet, or it used to have water, or whatever it is, any planet that has water or had water has life or used to be home to life.
Okay.
Not necessarily intelligent life.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it has life on there.
Okay, some form of life.
Some form of life, even if it's just a simple, microbe or germ.
Well, so there's much more life out there than many people imagine.
Yeah, and we've detected many of these planets that have water. We just haven't had the ability to travel to them.
Okay.
Okay, but if people were able to travel to them, and one day they will, they will be able to verify this, and that is that every single planet that has water has life. And that's something anyway that the scientists suspect.
Yeah.
And there's planets out there, the Imam says, that are made of precious metals or precious substances. There's planets that rain down diamonds or aqiq or other forms of precious stones. Yeah. There are planets that appear to be empty and that don't have life in there, but actually it's filled with life. It's just from the perspective of the people that are looking at that planet, we can't detect the life on there because we might be existing on a different frequency, or time is different for us than it is for them, so we're not able to perceive them, or they're existing on a different dimension or wavelength than what we can perceive or tap into.
Okay.
Wow. And that's the case is the same vice versa. And the Imam says that there's many creatures that pass by, our planet. And one of the things that people always ask is like, okay, well, why are we not bothered more if the universe is teeming with life? And one of the answers to that is because there's a lot of life that passes by Earth and they can't even see us. Okay. because we can't see them. They can see the planet, but the planet appears differently to them from their perspective or from their eyesight. It appears to be empty because they're just not perceiving this frequency or this wavelength that we're existing on. Okay. It's like a television that, right now, for example, it has this image on there, but there's also all of these other images that you can access by changing the channel, right?
Yes.
Or the frequency, the same thing with here on the planet. If you change the frequency, there are many other worlds that are intersecting with this world that we are currently existing in.
That's so interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
It also fits with how you had discussed jinn, and jinn being having the meaning of hidden, and jinn can exist without being detected because they're on a different frequency, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we have also planets out there that have amazing creatures and things that human beings are unaware of. There's beings that that we would not be able to tell if we traveled there that they are intelligent. For example, the Imam spoke about a particular planet that had an intelligent race on there that were so extremely thin that they resembled the thread.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. They were even more thinner than that. And so imagine you go to this planet and you just see all these like pieces of thread that are, you know, blowing, seemingly blowing about or moving about like this. They have their own scenarios. They're speaking with each other. They're dealing with each other, but this is just their appearance is that thin. And so you can't really, you just hear these rustling sounds or different weird sounds, or maybe you would even hear a weird, odd language, you know, being spoken, but all you would see is these very small, long pieces of thread, and you wouldn't be able to tell what is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
You have also other types of life forms out there that are intelligent, that kind of pop out of the ground, like plants, and their whole life cycle is equivalent to one day of ours, you know. So they're born, and then they raise up, and they're communicating with each other, and they multiply, and there's all kinds of things that are happening, and then they die, all within the span of one day. But for them, time is operating differently, so it appears, you know, it feels for them that they're living a very long life.
Okay.
But for us, we're perceiving it as one day. So this is also taking place on different planets. Time is affecting different beings in different ways.
Yeah.
And so they're perceiving things differently.
Yes.
And certainly the reverse scenario is also in effect, whereby certain aliens, if they were to come to our planet, because they are operating on a different type of time zone, you know, our time is affecting them differently, it might appear to them that our lives are extremely short, you know.
Okay.
Or the equivalent of one day of theirs. There's this difference between the perception of time when we're talking about, you know, time from a human perspective versus a different intelligence or creature's perspective.
Okay, that's very interesting.
And so one of the other fascinating facts is that there are millions of aliens that are visiting the Earth. And when I was asking the Imam, alayhi salam, about what it was that they were doing here, he stated that there are some of them that are searching out technology.
Okay, from this
Earth.
Planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
They discover the planet. They decide to come over here. They are looking for things. They're explorers. They're looking for technology. They're
okay.
Looking for, you know, they're scientists, so to speak. Yeah?
Yes.
They're exploring.
Yeah.
Others come to the planet in order to cause chaos and havoc. And he also stated that the, you know, a very large percentage of the disappearances that occur on Earth, these mystery cold cases whereby people will disappear and nobody ever knows what happened to them, if they were killed or, you know, if they're still alive. Many of these cases are individuals that were taken by extraterrestrials. They were kidnapped by them.
Wow.
And the idea of jinn kidnapping human beings is a big one also, and one that the Arabs used to be afraid of and still are today. And there's many narrations that speak about, you know, the Prophet warning people to, you know, close their homes at night and to take certain precautions because jinn are known to abduct humans and take them to their world. And so there's okay. another parallel that's drawn there. And the Imam also said that the major reason, though, that these extraterrestrials come to the Earth is so that they could experience, it's for sex, basically. They could have sex with human beings,
yeah.
You know. And a lot of them travel here in their native form. A lot of them travel here by hijacking the consciousness of the human being. So they're wearing human suits, much like in the movie Avatar, where the consciousness is
yeah.
kind of transported.
Yeah,
yeah, there. except without the capturing of the human body, and or shape-shifting. And there are entire races out there that have the ability to shape-shift from one form to another, much like a chameleon does.
Okay. Yeah.
And sometimes, the Imam says, the effects of these extraterrestrials multiplying with human beings are seen in the future generations or in the descendants of the relationship. The offspring or the offspring's offspring, the children or the grandchildren or great-grandchildren of that that relationship that took place between a human being and a shapeshifter, an alien who had taken on the appearance of a human being and engaged in intercourse with them, this usually manifests at some point with the breakdown of the human genes and the appearance of the alien genes, not in a first generation, but usually in a second or third generation, it will appear manifest in the form of some sort of genetic disease.
Okay.
And so he said that some of these genetic diseases are really not diseases at all, but rather they are the result of alien-human interactions or basically...
So it's not some random mutation. It's different genes mixing together.
Absolutely. Not all of the cases, not all of the diseases, for sure not.
Yeah.
But a small number of them, yes. This is the reason for it.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Yeah. And Imam Ahmad al-Hassan, he also spoke about, and Imam Mahdi spoke about the different types of aliens that had visited the earth before. One of them are called the Atwir, and they're from a planet called Hulfa. And those are the winged creatures that are that resemble cows or bulls with human heads, with beards and crowns on them. They are described as being an extremely nice species, a very peaceful species that were able to kind of travel through wormholes and find themselves on the planet Earth. They loved very much the nature here, and they enjoyed being on this planet. And many of the ancient people saw them, hence they carved them or made statues of them, of the Sphinx or of the, et cetera.
Yeah.
The Lamassu.
Yeah, the Lamassu. Yeah.
But through time, human beings began to capture them and to kill them, to torment them, to even eat them. And as a result of that, they stopped kind of coming to this planet. Also at one point in time, they were perceived as being angels.
Yes.
And this is where this idea or this concept comes from, that the angels are these winged animal human hybrids because of these beings that used to come to the planet before that are of an extraterrestrial origin. There's the Greys, the typical Greys that we know of. They've been visiting Earth for a very long time, and they have a different name. Their name is Ravdek, and the Ravdek, out of all of the extraterrestrial species that are out there, or at least in our immediate vicinity, in our region, these are the ones that resemble us the most culturally.
Okay,
so they do have a sense of humor. They do have structures in their civilization that resembles very much so the human structures that are here. They like to come to the planet for that reason, because they find this sense of they feel familiar, right?
Yeah,
being here. And even there are government officials and whistleblowers that have spoken out and talked about how they have the ability to kind of freeze time. And a lot of these grays, when they come here, they will freeze time. And for the family members and everybody that's in the area, but not for the children, not for the human children. And that will allow them the ability to allow their own children to play with our children without being detected by people that are around.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a little disturbing to think about, to be honest. The fact that this kind of thing can take place, but it makes sense. Yeah, it makes me think of the concept of when children talk about imaginary friends or, you know, things that the parents have never seen but they've seen, and what could they possibly really be talking about?
Yeah. And your husband, he had an encounter with an alien gray, right?
Yeah.
Did he tell you about it?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Would you like to share it with the audience?
Yeah, sure. He was driving. He had been driving for a long time. So he pulled over on the side of the road to sleep a little bit. And
this was in Denmark, right?
Yes, I think in Denmark. And he was sleeping. And then he saw a gray alien like come up to his window and point his finger at him. And then he felt himself wake up. But in the dream, he knew that he was awake. So it was like there was this lapse of time when he was with the alien and then when he woke up again. And he couldn't move. The alien actually, when the alien was pointing at him, it was as if his body was frozen.
Yeah, he narrates the story, mm-hmm. says that he was extremely tired. He pulls over in Denmark and, you know, and he looks out the window and he sees that there's this alien gray. It's a typical one, except the jaw is not so pointy, but it's more square shaped.
Yeah.
And he's as tall or a little bit shorter
than
the car, right?
Yeah.
And so he finds himself like paralyzed. He has this sleep paralysis thing going on, you know, but he's awake and he looks out the window and the creature is looking straight at him. And the creature is like pointing his finger at him.
Yeah.
And then the next thing he knows is that he's like waking up,
mm-hmm.
you know, in his car in the same position, you know, looking out the window, except that there's no alien there,
yeah.
you know. So it made him feel like it was a dream, which yeah. is something that also whistleblowers have said that they have the ability to do to confuse people when they abduct people. They make it seem like it was a dream, kind of like that. You know, that Men in Black type
yeah,
of pin
that thing, yeah,
thing that they do, out. Right, to yes. wipe out the memory of yeah. the person or to make it seem like it was an illusion. And so a lot of people, you know, and that's how the extraterrestrials manage in a big part as some of those species to remain undetected is because they confuse people and the people don't know if they had a dream or if it was reality. But pretty much most all visions that have to do with alien encounters are real encounters that took place that the people are made to think are
are, you know, potentially a dream or something. But
exactly.
Yeah, he was sure that it felt extremely real.
Oh no, he's absolutely yeah. sure and convinced on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have another species that existed on our planet a long time ago. And they predate human beings, and they are called the Haitan. And the Haitan are, and they still exist today, by the way. But they existed before us, and they continue to exist until modern times. And the Haitan are what people refer to as Yeti or Bigfoot, the Sasquatch,
okay.
Is actually an extraterrestrial species that is very advanced spiritually, okay? So they're very connected to the earth, and they know how to manipulate the energies on the planet and from the trees and from the living beings, and they're able to open up these wormholes to travel from one place to another. And they came to our planet and they took it as their own a long time ago. And some of the bones that are skeletons that are found today that are attributed to you know, some other form of species like the Homo erectus or whatever, are actually bones of these Haitan.
Okay.
You know, like the, you know, certain skeletons that are thought, for example, to be from them or to be from the Gigantopithecus, which is this gigantic ape type creature that allegedly existed before, you know, modern times. These are actually skeletons of these creatures. Not all of them, but some of them are.
Okay.
And they... they have their own religion, by the way, and they're the ones that are responsible for this cult of the worship of Saturn on the planet, and that's a very interesting story. And it goes along the lines of, a long time ago, there used to be an intelligent species that lived on Saturn.
Okay,
and they never disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. They were a perfect race that followed the divinely appointed ruler by God. And they had made visitations to the planet Earth, you know. And when they came from Saturn to Earth, they were met by these Haitan. And the Haitan had never seen a species that was so technologically advanced as these ones. And so when they encountered them, they thought that they were like gods or angels, right?
Yeah.
And so when they were teaching them things, when they taught them things, they considered, you know, basically the teachings of those extraterrestrials from Saturn was turned into a religion that the Haitan followed.
Okay. So they saw these righteous beings from you know, another world, and they took them to be deliverers of a divine message.
And the religion became, you know, basically corrupt. They misunderstood a lot of things. The communication was nearly impossible.
Okay.
You know? And so they began to wear things around their fingers, you know, because of the depictions of them describing that their planet was Saturn, and Saturn has this ring around it. And so from this extraterrestrial race, the Haitan began to depict these certain things. And from that, it eventually spilled down into the human race and human culture, whereby people wear rings, you know, to symbolize marriage. There's rings that are worn on the head to symbolize, you know, authority, kings and queens.
Yes.
They wear crowns on their head, like the crown that's around Saturn, etc.
Wow.
And there's a whole interesting topic that's pertaining to this and its connection with the Kaaba and the black cube and its association with Saturn, which there's a lot of truth to it, and it's kind of tied into the story, but it's such a long topic that I don't want to stray off what we're talking about now.
Okay.
So in short, these extraterrestrials, they affected the Haitan. The Haitan were existing at the same time or before humans were, but they still exist to this very day. Humans had contact with them, and they took from them certain things, you know, and it survived until this very day. And that species that lived on Saturn, they were invaded by another species, but it wasn't a physical invasion or war. It was an intellectual one. It was a cultural invasion.
Okay.
Where after making contact, and this is kind of, it happens a lot in the universe, and that's what people mainly have to worry about. Not so much physical invasions where one world is one planet's invading another planet, but when a species makes contact with another species and its culture is transported over, and its thinking affects the way of thinking of the inhabitants of that planet. And so there was an evil species, you know, so to speak, if we want to put it in simple terms, that affected the inhabitants of Saturn in a negative way. And this invasion, of thought, of culture, made them in the end self-destruct. They destroyed themselves and they started building weaponry that basically destroyed their planet and turned it into a place that cannot be inhabited anymore by creatures.
That's really fascinating. So basically, some in our world, nations invade other nations, or they're at war with each other. So the same thing is happening on a grander scale, it seems, in the universe.
It's like the United States is trying to spread democracy in different areas. You have other planets that have their own ideas of how and systems of governance. And when these ideas are spread into particular regions or planets, the result is destructive. Those creatures that were believers, they were raptured, so to speak, and they were taken to a new planet that they inhabited. And they still, live on to this very day. So that species did survive, but now they're on a different planet other than Saturn. And by the way, in our immediate solar system, there is no other intelligent species except for the species that are here on Earth.
Okay.
There used to be, but not anymore. There used to be on Mars. There used to be on Saturn. There used to be on some of the other planets. But as of right now, it's just us in our solar system. Any other intelligent species is from other solar systems, that are nearby or far away.
Okay.
And it's an interesting fact also to note that the people at that time, when that catastrophic event took place that destroyed Saturn, they didn't have a ruler over them who was righteous, who was their leader, who ended up saving the group that went to another planet and who warned them against adopting the culture of the invading civilization. And that individual ended up actually incarnating on Earth as a human being later on. And so extraterrestrials do incarnate on different planets. The souls of these extraterrestrials and souls in general are not necessarily always bound to the same planet. Even a human being could have an incarnation on a different world in a different place. And he doesn't have to necessarily, people think of reincarnation as only applying to the same planet, but it's not the case. They can incarnate in different worlds. And that leader ended up incarnating here as the prophet Noah. Mm-hmm. And And so now we know that yes, some of the prophets and the messengers did have extraterrestrial, incarnations or existences.
Okay.
Another prophet who incarnated here as a prophet, but and that was his first incarnation, was as a prophet on this planet, but he actually came from a different world. An extraterrestrial soul was the soul of Enoch.
Okay.
Enoch, and that's why in the Book of Enoch, these extraterrestrials that come from the place that he came from, they were searching him out and they ended up taking him up and talking to him. Enoch, Idris, it's the same person. Uchnuch, it's the same person. And he used to have a name, when he was on his old planet before he was born here, and it was Serh. And his planet was a planet called Kuthul, and it exists in the region that is close to the star Sirius.
Okay.
So it's in that region. If you look at Sirius and Earth from a particular area or perspective, Sirius would be in the middle. Earth would be below it, and parallel to the Earth from above Sirius would be the planet Cuthon.
Okay.
And that is where Enoch was from, and he had a lot of Ansar over there, a lot of followers and supporters, and they still even remember him to this very day on that planet.
Okay.
One of the other fascinating things that the Imam said was that the underground, some of these underground structures that people have found in recent years, like the city of Derinkuyu, that is in Turkey, that this is actually, it resembles like an ant built, but on,
like
on a large, human scale. This was built by an extraterrestrial species that live underground, and they still live underground to this very day. And they have cities that are pretty much underneath every single, country in the entire world. So they exist in great numbers. Most of them were followers. They actually ended up accepting the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so many of them, most of them are Christian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they followed Jesus and accepted his message, and they're awaiting his return till this very day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's really cool. And it's really cool to hear the truth behind so many of these unexplained phenomena that exist on Earth, whether it's like the appearance of creatures or the existence of these underground cities and structures. Clearly, there's much more about existence that we just don't know. And
And I guess that also answers the question maybe that somebody was wondering, do the extraterrestrials adopt our human religions, or vice versa? So now we've talked about how some of the religions are basically inventions or misunderstandings of things, that messages from extraterrestrials. And at the same time, sometimes extraterrestrials, they adopt the human religion.
That's fascinating.
There are also species that are on the planet. They're at war with one another. So there will be units that will be sent here that are much like intelligence units, or special ops forces that come here, and their mission is to extract a particular object, and they end up getting into little conflicts with other species on this planet that they are in war with. That does take place, and that does occur.
Okay.
There are also these beings called the Shafar, and the Shafar exist on a planet that is very far away from here, and they're physically incapable of traveling to this planet. But they do have the ability to project their consciousness into human bodies and to take them over. And that's what happens with a lot of these advanced civilizations, is they may not be able to travel such far distances physically, but they certainly are able to transport their consciousness into any place in the known universe, or almost any place in the known universe. And the Shafar, the Imam says, they have hacked the minds of many high-level government officials and rulers, and one of them specifically was George H.W. Bush. His consciousness was overtaken by one of these creatures, and you can tell when somebody is overtaken by one of these species because of their eyes. There will be this kind of flashing light type of thing that will go through the eyes. And there's this old saying that says the eyes are the windows to the soul, right?
Yes, yes.
And this is one of the easiest ways that a person can identify if somebody is possessed or is inhabited by an extraterrestrial mind or consciousness, or if the person is a shapeshifter, is by looking into the eyes. They're able to tell, because it will be off.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of them are telepathic and are able to read minds and messages, things that you're thinking, and that's their method of communication. And Yeah. So I think that for the most part, sums up a lot of the general information concerning the extraterrestrials. Although there's a lot more that can be said, I think we should probably stop there for time purposes. But I would like to leave, by mentioning this other creature that exists on a different planet. And it was a fascinating story that I was told by the Imam. And it was a story of a planet that has on there beings that resemble, 100% us. But they're not humans.
Okay.
But they look like us.
Okay.
There is no difference.
Body-wise,
feature-wise, they look like us. But they walk around on that planet naked. And
okay.
Their brains are the same as the brains of the, or their level of intelligence is the same as the level of intelligence of animals that are on this planet, right?
Okay.
So like rabbits and cats and dogs and things like this. This is how those beings that resemble us act and behave on that planet.
Yeah.
And there is an intelligent species that inhabits that planet, but the intelligent species on that planet resemble rabbits on our planet. But rabbits that wear clothes, that speak, have a language, have a culture, have civilization, have homes, have jobs, have things like this, and their pets are the humans.
Okay.
So it's a reversal.
Wow.
Anyway, thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining me today. We'll pause there, and inshallah, we'll in the future make the third and final chapter dealing with this topic of extraterrestrials.
Thank you so much. This is a very, very fascinating topic, and thank you for everything that you've taught me today.
God bless.
God bless you.